Here we have a very fascinating idea. In the beginning of the parsha, quoted in the Zera Emes, I might add, we have that Paroi has a double dream. A double dream. And it's bothering him. The Zera Emes quotes the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh that says that Paroi had this dream for every day for the 2 years prior to this night. It's that since Yosef was not ready yet to be redeemed, he didn't do his part. So every morning Paroi would wake up and it would forget it, like most of the dreams we all have. He forgot about the dream. No big deal. This day finally came when Yosef was now worthy of getting out of jail. So what happens is, Paro remembers his dream and then starts the story, the wild story. So Paro has all the people. We're talking about magicians, masterminds. We're not talking about weak people here. People coming in and giving all types of ideas to Paro. But it's not working. I guess he gets a sense inside of himself. It's the wrong one. And he makes the announcement. Is there a doctor in the house? Right? That's all it is. Or, now, how do you answer that question? Either if you're the doctor, you stand up. Or you hand over a phone number. I know a guy. I know a guy. That's all. I know a guy. Four words. That's all it is. And as we know, we've discussed many times here, every word, every letter is prime real estate. $1 billion. More so, if we remember, something I discussed a few years ago. I put out a book on it, a sefer, Hebrew sefer, reprinted from over 100 years ago, if you remember, that in Parshas Chayei Sarah, when Eliezer goes to meet Rivka, so it's a chapter 24, is one of the longest chapters in Torah, maybe the longest one. And why? Because it happens twice. It happens in the live events that are occurring. And then Eliezer sits down with the family and they say, okay, what's going on? And it repeats the entire story. And it's I published that sefer with 115 differences. But when you read it quickly, it's the same story. It's only when you start realizing that. And the Torah says at the time, Rashi quotes the Medrash, that by the way, why is the Torah doing this? That's a very strange thing. To show you the beauty of the Avdei Aves, the slaves of our forefathers, their words are so valuable that in prime real estate, the Torah is going to repeat the whole thing. But it means every word in the Torah is obviously measured 1 billion degrees. In this parsha, when Yosef shows up, Yosef begins to interpret the dream, and then Yosef adds on, by the way, what this means is, that now, in verse 33, let Paroi seek out a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Paroi means I'm interpreting the dream. It's going to be 7 bad years, then 7 good years. I mean, the other way around, 7 good years, then 7 bad years. He does, and then he said, by the way, let me tell you what to do. And the early commentators, that's why it's a serious question. The Ramban, Nachmanides, and people of that time period, and of course later, ask a very obvious question. You don't say extra words to the king. The king says, interpret the dream. You know what you do? Interpret the dream. No reason for advice. It's a two-edged question when you look around, two-part question. Part of the question is, nobody asks you for your advice. Don't give advice to the king. But part of the question, when you look at some of the early commentators, is not don't give advice. No extra word to a king. Unwise, uncalled for, death penalty. And on the in this parsha, they go into that. Why did what gave Yosef the right? And by the way, on your own time, if you want, you could look through this forum. Maybe we'll do it one day. You could put together 3 digits for sore answers of what gave of going from the early commentators till today of people with genius answers. Trying to explain what gave Yosef the right. Usually one of the approaches is going to be that somewhere in that dream, in the interpretation, was give advice as well. So you have to go through the dream, 2 dreams, and find out what Yosef says, because that idea is in the dream. One of the easy answers. What do they call those things? The reeds? What do you call those things? The thin ears. Stalks of grain in Judaism sometimes represent common sense. A child is considered not the lowest level child when he's capable of eating bread, because there's a certain development to the brain. So again, they're going to come up with all these answers. But the point that we're basing this now is saying that every word in the Torah is measured 1 billion degrees. Step one, obvious. They don't need me for this. Step two, not only is the Torah measured, but the people who are speaking to a king measured to the nth degree. Don't give advice, but not only don't give advice, don't add on words. Now, look what happens here. So Paroi makes an announcement. Is there a doctor in the house? You're the guy who knows the doctor's number. If you're the guy, what you probably should do is write it down on a piece of paper. You know, you're going to great rabbis. You don't actually talk to them. You give them a piece of paper. Kvittel, they call it. You don't even talk to them. Kvittel, you write the number down. You write the name down and you hand it. I wouldn't even say a word because it's the Egyptian king. Let's see what he does. Unbelievable. The chamberlain spoke up before Paroi. So already he's starting to speak. And look at this, how many words it spends. By the way, this is verse 9. My transgression do I mention today? You know, when the guy says, by the way, don't take this personally. The worst opening a line to a king. to anybody. Don't take this personally. I want to mention my sins. Then he says, by the way, Pari became angry. Step two. You're reminding the king of a negative time. No reason, by the way, right, as of now. And he got angry at me and he placed me in the ward with somebody else who you killed. What? Why are you bringing in details of another guy that he killed in the end? That's even...
backstory.
And then we had a dream, the backstory. And then he's saying, by the way, you know how innocent I was? You know how innocent I was, Pari? I got my job back. You know why? Because a fly in the soup is not a reason to be put in jail. He's telling the king, you made a mistake, by the way. Buddy, you made a mistake. Fly in the soup? I got my job. I'm here. I'm standing in front of you. This is terrible, by the way. He's giving up. Charles is saying backstory. Does the king need a backstory? By the way, and the backstory is elaborated on. This goes on. And by the way, and he says, okay, I'm going to be nice to the king. Let me tell you what I think of this guy. You're about to introduce. Is there a doctor in the house? Your first reaction is, hey, you graduated Columbia University, right? No, that's not what he says here. He's a young, fool, filthy Jew. What? That's what you're introducing someone to the king? I'm going to go a step further, by the way. If you wanted to keep quiet at this moment in time, you know, Benjamin Franklin, you want to keep a secret, tell it to one person and kill him. Who knows about Joseph's abilities? The cupbearer guy, what do you call the other guy? The butcher guy, he's no longer here. He's not revealing the secret. Yosef, he's a young, filthy, dirty, stupid Jew. That's what he's calling him out, quoting the Torah here. This guy's an anti-Semite, by the way. I would say the worst anti-Semite in the history of the world. You know why? Because instead of shutting his mouth, which is safety first for himself, to stay alive, he actually gives over the information and Yosef gets the job. It's the worst thing of all time. He should have kept his mouth quiet. Nobody knows. Nobody knows Yosef has the power. And let's say Yosef had the power. He can say, I don't know what this guy's talking about.
That's a good thing. He's getting Yosef out of jail. Why is he an anti-Semite?
Well, no, because when you read the words, it says how he describes him. And there with us was a Hebrew youth, a slave of the chambermaid. Rashi says, what's all these words here? There's an article quote to Rashi. Rashi says, cursed, it's unbelievable, cursed are the wicked, because even in their favors, they are incomplete. The chamberlain recalled Yosef in the most disparaging terms, a youth ignorant, unfit for distinction. A Hebrew, a foreigner, does not understand our language. A slave, and the laws say a slave can neither wear robes of nobility. So here we have this guy, anti-Yosef, and that's how you give the job over? By the way, and again, if you wouldn't have said anything, you get away with that. No one knows.
But he would not have believed him. This is establishing credibility for the story. It's like, if I didn't happen to me, I'm a nobody.
Why don't you wait for a question? Now, again, there could be there's more to the conversation, but the Torah is relating this. It's a two-part question. Why is this guy talking so much? He could have said, here's a phone number. Call me. I know a guy. That's all you got to say. Do you have to remind the king that, by the way, I went to jail for the wrong reason? I'm an innocent victim. Why are you telling me?
I thought you're not allowed to go to the king list to kill capture.
Right. And not only is this guy, correct. That's part of the question.
Yeah.
Not only is this guy adding, volunteering way too much. By the way, Yosef's information is, I have a good idea. Let's hire someone to run the country that knows what he's doing. Let's hire the proper CEO. And the early commentators say, off with Yosef's head. You had no right to do that. Here, it's like, I'm not saying advice. It's like, I'm saying extra words. Here, this guy is going into details that are completely unnecessary, that are bringing a bad memory to the king. Why are you reminding him when he bit his tooth? When was the last time you reminded your wife of, you remember that fight we had? Like, what? Why does anyone, imagine going to the king. By the way, remember when you bit into the rock and you chipped your tooth? Mr. King, do you remember that? How about the time you put me in jail for the wrong reason? It's way too many extra words. And it's a double question. First, too many extra words that he's talking. And the early commentator is five verses later, ask it on Yosef, don't ask it here. And the second question is, why is the Torah relating it to us? If the Torah tells us by Chayasara on chapter 24, that the Torah tells us, by the way, we repeat the story, the repetition of the story with Eliezer, and all the commentators like, whoa, the Torah is going into too much detail. So let's say, for some reason, we have an excuse. We can come up with the reason why the wine man, the cupbearer, has to have a reason.
So right now, what you're saying is that there are a ton of deep secrets in this monologue.
Five sukkim. Five verses.
And you wrote a book on this.
I wrote a book on 24. This is the idea I came up with this week. God gave it to me. That's why we had to say it over. And I think it's phenomenal. We're going to go through what he was doing first. And then we're going to say the lesson to us, which most of you will extrapolate based on the fact you've been in this class for a couple decades. Maybe not all of you a couple decades, but Bodenheim's a rookie and he's been here a couple years already. So,
Rabbi,
yes.
A suggestion.
Yes.
That the cupbearer needs to explain, how does he know a Hebrew slave? he's recommending this interpreter of dreams.
That
How does
again,
he
that's what Charles
know?
was saying before almost. I like the idea as step two, which means he first says, I know a guy. Then when the king says, oh, how do you know him? And then I wouldn't remind the king, by the way, I was innocent and you killed the other guy. You killed the other guy. What's the point of that one? I killed
He
the.
also said he was, when I was in the butcher's house, my friend the butcher, it was his slave.
Right. I don't know if you. No, I wouldn't lie to the king. I wouldn't lie to the king because
Don't
that's
lie.
dangerous. I don't know if I would lie to the king, but everything you're saying is only. That could have been step two. Imagine, first, it could be very well, but the guy says, I know a guy. I know a guy, four words. And the king says, okay, what's the number? At this point in time, the king's desperate, right? He's making the announcement. He started out with the other guys. He brought in the experts. Everyone's failing. Does anyone know anybody? So, okay, so it's not such a big deal. Okay, now, I want to say this. I want to say that first we're going to do his concept, and again, then we're going to extrapolate it to us.
Is being
His being the cupbearer. What's his name? Chamberlain of the cupbearers.
name. Name.
No, named. No name. The drunkard. The what's who the guy brings the wine? Not the waiter. He's not a waiter. He's higher than that. Here it says Chamberlain of the Cupbearers. That's not English. Saramashkin. We call him the Saramashkin, which
Butler,
is in English.
Butler,
Maybe,
or
yeah.
like
Yeah.
the D, the
Yeah,
vicar.
the head guy. So I want to say this. What he wants to do is he wants to show what he's willing to give up for the king. He's saying, I want to show you how much I love you, the king, how great you are. I'll do anything for you. So he starts going through the backstory and he tells the king, I want to tell you a few things. A fly in the soup, I'm an innocent guy. You know how innocent I am? I got my job back. You know what I did in that jail? You know what the jail looks like in Egypt? I wasn't in a jail in Egypt that, I mean, a jail in Egypt's bad. There's no discussing it. It's bad. You know how bad it was for me? I had to take advice from a dirty, filthy Jew. I don't want to do that. I hate Jews. I'm an anti-Semite. I'm the biggest anti-Semite in the world. I don't even want to help the guy. When the guy told me to tell you about him, I don't even want, and he didn't tell me to tell you about him. Put in a good word for me. I wouldn't do it for the guy. I know the guy's a bum and a lowlife. He's the worst. He's the worst. And my life was terrible. And I'm an innocent victim. I'm an innocent victim, by the way. But I want to tell you something. You know how happy I am? I'm so happy because at that whole life story, my backstory led me to this moment where I can help you out. I can relieve the stress of the king. That's the beauty of it. He's telling the king, if I could find the fly, I would kiss the fly. I would kiss this fly, the greatest fly in the history of the world. This fly went into the soup. I keep on saying soup because it's a book, Fly in the Soup. It's really a fly in the wine. This fly ruined my life. For years, I was sitting in a jail cell, rotting away as an innocent victim, saying I have the worst life in the world. Came on to a Jew, and I took advice from a Jew. It's so terrible. But guess what? It was all worth it. You know why, Mr. King? I'm telling you my story to tell you how much I love you, how much I'll do for you. Every word of my life is for you. I'm trying to show you my love for you. So I'm going through the backstory to tell you how bad it was, to tell you, guess what? I would do it again. If the fly came into my soup again, I wouldn't declare innocence. I'd go through the wine. I'd go through the process again of years of suffering. Years of suffering in a jail. Years of having to live in the same jail cell as a Jew. All for what? That at one point in time, I can give you the advice that you need and help you relieve your pain because the Jew has one talent, and that is he can interpret dreams correctly. How do I know? I'm standing here right now. So, of course, I was innocent, but the Jew helped out. So, my whole life, my whole essence is only to tell you I'm here to relieve your stress. I am subservient to you. The more my life was torture, and I'm openly saying I'll do it again, the more I'm showing subservience. So, if I just tell you I have a guy, have a guy's not, it's good, you're gonna help the king, but I'm not showing my subservience to the king. I'm giving you information. I get a shadchanas fee, I get a 3% finder's fee. I don't want to give you, I don't want the finder's fee. The finder's fee is about the guy himself. He gets the tip, it's about himself. No, it's not about me, king. It's about you. It's about you. I don't want anything. I want to show you how bad it was, and I would do it again. We once said, going back to Eliezer's story, we once said that.
What did he do? Do it again. What's the it?
He's
What's the
going through
it?
his life saying that although it appeared to be the worst life in the world, these five verses, how his life was terrible, he was innocently framed. He was in a jail cell. He was in a jail cell with a Jew.
Suffer over again just to be able to give the king this advice that he's about to give.
To help the king in any way. In this case, it's to give him who's the guy who can interpret the dreams. But he'd do anything for the king. That means I would go to a jail cell if I could find the right mechanic. I would go to the jail cell if I could find the right light bulb fixture guy. I would do anything in my life is nothing. It's all here to serve the king. That means no matter how miserable it is for me, if it's in service of the king, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. And he's showing it's not about me. Because if he would just say, I have a guy for you, It's I have a guy for you. It means don't forget. I'm waiting. They wait around for the tip. They give the cough and the hand is out, right? We once said years ago also, going back to the story of Eliezer, that when Rivka helped him out, how did Eliezer know Rivka was the perfect person of giving, of charitable, and all that stuff, and she was worthy of a wife for Yitzchak? And one of the commentators we quoted said, because at no point did she hint in the minuscule way that she expected something back from Eliezer. No waiting for the tip. She was 100% giving over, no taking involved. So by him reliving this experience, him saying over his whole life, as saying how miserable it was, but he's at the same time saying, the reason I'm saying the story over is in honor of the king. I'm not adding words that I shouldn't be talking to the king. I am giving full force to the king. Maybe you could add that he's willing to say, if I said any extra words, kill me, as long as it's for the honor of the king. The whole thing is honor the king. The reason why the Torah repeats this whole thing is for our lesson as well. Because we have to understand our lives as well. Our lives are here to serve the king. Capital K this time. Capital K. And we have to say, easier said than done, we have to find our own flies and kiss our flies. The fly, if he is saying, if I would find the fly that put me in the jail cell, I would give it gold. I would put it, it's the greatest fly in history. It could be all the flies in the history of the world were created for this fly.
What is so good that the guy got his job?
No, his goodness was that now I could help the king. I have the right interpreter. I can help the king. No one else, it says all the people, as it was in the morning, his spirit was agitated. He summoned all, whatever that word is, interpreter, dream interpreters, we'll say it in English, all his wise men, but none could interpret them for power.
Knew except for this guy, because the other guy that knew was killed, and so he's the only guy alive.
He's even adding that detail. Why is he adding the detail? The guy's died. He said, you don't understand, no one knows what I'm about to tell you, but I'm telling you my life was miserable, but now in hindsight it's not miserable.
I got to be able to tell you this.
I got to help out the king. You have to find the flies in our lives, easier said than done, and realize now we don't get to see it sometimes. Again, but this guy was sitting in a jail cell. He didn't get to see it either. He is sitting there right now. If he was a good person, he was sitting there in front of the king saying, look at that. I was in the jail. So look how my life is coming full circle right now. All started out as the worst life in history. This guy was on top of the world, by the way. He is the maitre d' for the king. And again, an innocent victim, because he didn't do anything wrong, placed in jail. He got a special pardon from the president because it was his birthday. If you remember, that's all it was. He could have been there forever. This just got lucky. The turkey, on the one turkey runs away. I don't know exactly what to do with the president with the turkeys, right? He gets away with it. But the idea was, the reason why the Torah is telling us these details is to tell us that we have to look at our lives the same way. The Torah has to spend five psukim telling us, when you go through your own life, not the thanks, when you go through your own life, sometimes it takes years to get there. In hindsight, we believe as Jews, it's a pasuk in Eicha. Everything God does is for the good. Hard to understand in this plane that we live in. In this field we're living on, this dimension, we don't see it. But when it does happen, we're like, oh, of course. The most classic example, God forbid, the guy breaks his leg and he goes to the hospital and they find out he had a tumor. That now they realize, and there are a billion stories.
So the car accident, he can't get on the plane that has...
Car accident, can't get on the plane?
It has a car accident, and a plane crash. Yeah.
And I think I told you this story one time. I was in Israel. And good story. I said over recently. I was in Israel. And I used to learn in a place at night. I wasn't part of the place, but night Seder. I used to learn with a friend of mine. And one night there was a guy there who got engaged from the place, but I wasn't really part of the place. I didn't know the guy's names and everything, but there was a big party upstairs. And because I'm there, they knew my face. Like, oh, come on upstairs and join the engagement party. And I told you that story with the guy? Oh, no, he did. So one of the guys got up to speak and he said, I'm the official matchmaker here. And everyone's laughing. I didn't know what was going on. And it comes out, he's saying over the story that these two guys were friends. They were going to Ben Yehuda, the city, the center of town, the Ben Yehuda Mall. There was no mall back then. I'm aging myself. And they were running together, and the guy speaking jumped on the bus, but he didn't hold the bus for his friend, and the doors closed, and he went ahead. And his friend was sitting there, and he wasn't sure what to do. Should he chase him onto the next bus? Should he just take it as a sign and go back to the shul and learn, whatever it was? And he got on the next bus in a frustrated mood because his friends ran ahead. And sitting next to him was the girl he then got engaged to. So he's missing that. But again, but there are a billion examples like this. There are a billion examples of things that appear negative, I don't like the word appear. They are probably negative. When he was in the jail cell for 10 years because of an innocent victim of a fly, it was negative. In the end, it comes out positive. So we have to do our lives as well. The reason the Torah is telling us is we have to know we're here for a purpose. And part of the purpose is it's not only about us, it's about the greater good. But we're ticking oil. I don't know why that's happening now. But anyway, no. If you have water, it's regular water, maybe. It's not a big deal. But the idea is that the reason why the Torah is going to go into this at length is because of the situation. Because of the situation. Now, the situation is you mean that you go through your life and you realize that there's a reason why God did it. And because God did it, he did it for good. For good. Because we believe everything God does for good. And we have to realize we're supposed to be subservient and serving it for the greater good. That's the main idea. I think we're going to stop here anyway. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nivra.
But we all forget that
And now, what I wanted to do, if you tell me you want to add this in, I'm going to cut. There was an Ofer Finchel this week. And I wanted to add on that the one place everyone always says they see God is by marriage. Because in the end, everyone meeting their wife makes no sense. And there's always, oh, you know what happened? There's always some. Almost always there's some odd story. And if your friend set it up, why'd you meet this friend? It's always in a place at a time and something. So that's not necessarily negative to positive as going to a jail cell. But the idea is in general to recognize that God is running the world. We're here to serve God running the world and to make a greater good out of it and not to be about ourselves waiting for a tip. Have a great Shabbos.